In the holy name of Jesus, amen. And God held in his hand a small globe. "Look," he said. The sun looked. Far off, as through water, he saw a scorched land of fierce color. The light burned there. Crusted buildings cast their shadows. A bright serpent, a river, uncoiled itself, radiant with slime. On a bare hill, a bare tree saddened the sky. Many people held out their thin arms to it, as though waiting for a vanished April to return to its crossbows. The sun watched them. "Let me go there," he said. This poem, "The Coming," written by Anglican priest R.S. Thomas, speaks of the possible dialogue that transpired amongst the Godhead after the fall of man. Now, it usually pops up around Advent time because it's a perfect lead-up to Christmas and to the incarnation of the Christ. But I really appreciate it this week, specifically today, on this second Sunday in Lent, for two reasons. Firstly, it joins together the Old Testament reading from last week, Genesis 3, and the bad situation that humankind puts itself in, to the New Testament reading for this week, John 3, and God fixing that bad situation. Secondly, in a masterfully beautiful way, it tells the simple message that God has for you. And the message is this: God really, really loves you. It's the same simple message that is whispered throughout Scripture in a multitude of ways. From nothing, God creates. "I love you." After the fall of man in the garden, God promises the seed of salvation. "I love you." After Cain kills Abel, God marks Cain so that he won't be destroyed. "I love you." After God calls the pagan Abraham to leave his family and his gods behind, he promises him a multitude of descendants, so many that they will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. "I love you." The sheep, the coin, the prodigal son all go missing. They're all lost. But they're sought and they're found and they're blessed. "I love you." Lazarus dies and is laid into the tomb. But Jesus raises him back to life. "I love you." This week we're comforted with that simple message yet again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The Father sees his sin-inflicted people hold up their thin arms, asking for mercy and for resurrection, and he sends his Son, the God of glory, taken on human flesh, to be beaten, bruised, and lifted up, just like that old bronze serpent in the wilderness. Only to be raised on Easter morn, conquering sin, death, and the devil. The message of Jesus, the message of the gospel, is very, very simple. But that doesn't mean that it's easy. You all know this better than anyone, I'm sure. The message is simple, but it seems very hard to keep anchored to. Especially as we enter this second week of Lent, this second week of walking through the darkness to get to the Easter light. In that darkness, we're fasting and we're watching. We're praying, and for many of us, we're suffering. Our sinful flesh is really taking a toll on us. In this darkness, we're all experiencing our own fall like Adam and Eve. We're murdering our brothers and sisters with our words. We're attempting to leave our gods and our idols behind like Abraham, but doing that hurts. We're lost, just like that shiny coin and that daft sheep and that wayward prodigal son. If we know anything about this darkness, it's that this darkness doesn't discriminate against anyone. It takes its toll on the rich and the poor, the God-fearer and the pagan, the young and the old. These past 7 months of vicarage have taught me this very well. Whether it's teaching high schoolers or visiting shut-ins, I have seen the darkness press in on God's beloved. And the darkness rears its ugly head in a variety of ways. For my high schoolers, it's something like having a poor self-image or having experienced some sort of bullying. For some of you, it's been health concerns or the loss of loved ones. Maybe it's been struggles in your marriage, or for you who are widowed or single, it's this loneliness that just eats at you. For those who are homebound or in the hospital, it's the worry of being forgotten by family and friends and your congregation. This darkness tempts us with a horrific lie. And that lie is that God doesn't really love us. We're left grasping for light in the darkness. We're in desperate, desperate need of a Savior. Nicodemus knew this very well. This man of the Pharisees, this ruler of the Jews, has heard that Jesus has done extraordinary signs and wonders. He traverses at night through the darkness because he recognizes that Jesus is somehow, in some way, of God. Jesus is the sliver of light in the darkness. But Jesus tells him that in order to fully see the kingdom of God, in order to see that God is really with Jesus and is Jesus, one must be born again. One must be brought into the light. Nicodemus doesn't understand what Jesus is saying because of the fact that he's still plagued by the darkness. He's still sitting in the darkness. How can these things be? How can a man be born again? Can he really climb back up into his mother's womb and be born a second time? We're plagued with our own questions this morning when we're moving through or sitting in the darkness. How does one escape the darkness? How do we make it through this Lenten season? How are we able to keep holding on to that simple message of the gospel, that sliver of light in the darkness? Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Friends, it's as simple as the water and the Word and the Spirit. In baptism, our God of grace bathes us in the light of Christ. Our dark, sinful hearts are illumined by the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus. We're cemented, we're anchored to the simple message of the gospel forever. Whether or not we can feel it or fathom it, In baptism, we get the promised seed of salvation. In baptism, we are marked like Cain in order to be saved from death. In baptism, we're made one of Abraham's descendants by faith. In baptism, we're blessed like that coin and that sheep and that prodigal son. In baptism, we're raised to new eternal life. Just like Lazarus. When we're washed with the water and the Spirit and the Word, we're brought into the light and enter into the kingdom of heaven. Our entire lives are made into a living repetition of this simple message. We walk through the darkness of our weeks, being tempted and falling into temptation, and we make our way back to this place a couple of times a week, confessing our sins so that we can receive God's forgiveness and so that we can be assured that the devil's lie that God doesn't love us isn't true. Father Henry Nguyen, whose writings are the inspiration behind our congregation's Lenten devotions, puts it very beautifully in his book, The Road to Daybreak. This is what he writes. The voice of Jesus says, "Do not judge yourself. Do not condemn yourself. Do not reject yourself. And may I add, do not believe the devil's lie. Let my love touch the deepest, most hidden corners of your heart and reveal to you your own beauty, a beauty that you have lost sight of, but which will become visible to you again in the light of my mercy." The voice of Jesus says, "Come, come, let me wipe your tears and let my mouth come close to your ear and say to you, I love you, I love you, I love you." See, this is why it's important to come to church, especially in Lent. Because when we come to this place and we're reminded of our baptismal identity and we're forgiven our sins and nourished with the body and the blood of Jesus, the God of grace and the God of glory is pushing back the darkness and saying to us again, I love you. Every Sunday becomes a little Easter on our way to the big Easter. Every Sunday, a little resurrection on the way to the big resurrection. So this Lent will continue to, as the poem says, hold our thin arms up, waiting for April, waiting for the resurrection of Easter Sunday to dawn. And as we wait, Jesus will continue to push back the darkness and keep telling us that he loves us very, very much. The darkness and the sin and the devil and the flesh might rail against us for the next 35 days. But be assured, friends, that on Easter morn, Jesus, light and life, will win. In the holy name of Jesus, Amen.